shotgun. Murray, out of the pocket. 7 seconds. 6 seconds. Murray heaves it downfield. It is. Oh, it's caught! It is caught! DeAndre Hopkins! Miraculous! It's Murray magic! Is the man who comes away with it.
The only way to get your morning started is with Defo, joined by Luby, right here on The Defo Show.
Murray magic in midstream, stream of consciousness.
He didn't write that or have it planned, have a chalkboard of what he couldn't. Like, that's called natural. That's called real professionalism and talent.
You know, somewhere on his shirt sleeve, Al Michaels had "Do you believe in miracles" written down before he made that call. Not this gentleman. Did it on the fly, and it's only a matter of time. We know that Nance is hearing footsteps now. We'll outline one more reason.
Like, Nance saw that highlight and just shook his head like, oh, well, it's over for me.
Yeah, and where was he? He was looking around, and he knows that Ian Eagle can easily say, Nick, looks like 220 for DeChambeau. I mean, I know he can do it. There's no question. Ian Eagle joins us here on the show, the author of that call. Tremendous. I mean, that's what you love, right, about doing play-by-play when the action unfolds and it doesn't quite speak for itself, but you can enhance it like that. Were you falling asleep at that part of the game, figuring it was over? How did you manage to maintain the presence? And did you have a pair of pliers on a very sensitive part of Charles Davis's anatomy? Because...
That's my favorite part of the whole thing. He doesn't say a word. Like,
he doesn't say anything.
Ian lays out for 15 seconds. I actually did the math, Defo. It was 15 seconds. He lays out where, for sure, Charles would normally, the color guy would jump in, says nothing. That was the most amazing call just because of that. It was like old school.
Did you anticipate the Hail Mary and slip on a Mickey? What happened?
Yeah. No, I did that at halftime, so I knew it would kick in right around then. Now, you know what's funny, guys? Just thinking about it now, replaying it in my head, I wasn't even sure that was the play they were going to toss the Hail Mary. If you look at the clock, they still had time for one more play, a sideline throw, and then maybe the Hail Mary toss. So as the buildup was happening, he's flushed out of the pocket. I'm not even convinced he's going to uncork it for the end zone.
Wow. So
the unpredictable nature of this, as you guys know, the Miami New England game a couple of years ago, that one, I really thought the game was over. I was putting all of my stuff in my bag to make my flight. that was the mental moment for me during the Kenyon Drake run. I literally had taken the stuff off of the desk and stuck it in my bag as I looked back up at the field. I'm like, whoa, what's going on here? I know I had a tight flight out of Fort Lauderdale, and I didn't make that flight, by the way. That didn't work out in my favor. This one, I was flying to L.A. to take a red eye back to New Jersey, and I made this flight by 3 minutes.
Oh, geez.
Nice. That's
three
tough
minutes,
to do these days.
Just based on
the very tough.
Yeah, this is with the real life part of the whole day is what you remember. You remember the things that happen afterwards, but the play itself, that kid is really special. I think the best part, if you're an Arizona Cardinal fan, is you have a chance to have this guy for 10 years, and he's going to do special, unique things. We were impressed with him when we sat down with him in the Zoom meeting. Didn't really know what to expect. Had never talked to him. Had never seen him in person. Had never called a game of his. And I walked away under the impression that he's a smart kid. He is demanding. And he's going to have a bunch of special moments like that. And that's obviously one that's going to go down in the history books for him.
I doubt that this gentleman will be replaying that call as frequently as we will be in the future. Bill O'Brien had to be sick as he was watching that with DeAndre Hopkins. In between three Buffalo Bills, I mean, how did you even spot this man? He was surrounded by defenders. And he somehow comes down with the ball, and you can't help but think that that cost Bill O'Brien not one but two jobs this year.
Yeah, he's ridiculous, DeAndre Hopkins. Just ridiculous. His hands are insane. Everything that he is about as a player was evidenced on that play. Everything. His demeanor, his leaping ability, his body control, his hands, his steely focus, all of it. Gifted, gifted receiver. You know, I had said on the prior possession that Stephon Diggs had been the best receiver in the NFL this year, and he has. Diggs has been tremendous this season. He has emerged. It's been beyond the breakout year. He had good years in Minnesota. He is having the best year in Buffalo Bills history for a wide receiver. He makes a sliding grab on a Josh Allen throw that, in most cases, wins the game, only to see the Cardinals go down the field and score on this thriller. DeAndre Hopkins is a unique talent, and if you're just going off physical gifts and production, there's been nobody better over the last 6 years, and he's playing with a future, a first ballot, surefire future Hall of Famer in Larry Fitzgerald. So the stuff that he's learning now from Larry is going to help him later in his career. If you're, again, an Arizona fan, you've got to feel good about your future. Now, this game easily could have gone the other way. This could have been a crushing loss for them. They allowed Buffalo to rally late in the game. But that's not the storyline. That's not the narrative. The narrative is Arizona's got a little something going here. And if they handle Seattle tonight, they're in first place in the NFC West by themselves. And all of a sudden, they're going to be one of the real surprise stories of the NFL this season, a team that won five games last year.
The great Ian Eagle of CBS and many other affiliations with us here on 940 Wins, 1230 The Zone, and the iHeartRadio app. Did you think at any time about tagging that out in Vin Scully fashion, that call, and maybe like throwing in the date or the time?
That'd be great. That'd be great. Just make it normal.
Exactly. I could. I'm going to miss my flight. Yeah, I could have just gone with that.
That'd be great.
You can't do that stuff anymore. I remember I was covering a fight in Las Vegas, and I had to catch a flight almost immediately after. And, of course, you're rooting for all the one-round knockouts in the prelims. And then I got involved in a craps game. My friend was going to drive me to McCarran Airport, which wasn't far away, as it's not far away from anything there. And we forgot about the time and then ran to the airport, and they were literally closing the door. They don't do that anymore.
Yeah. No, no.
Where, yeah, you know, no, you come running and going, hey, wait, it's me. Doesn't happen.
they don't play that game anymore. Yeah, I you're right. I could have time-stamped it. 5:41 Mountain Time. Honestly, it's pretty crazy.
It would
crazy.
Have stamped you into history. Yeah.
Yeah, in the moment, you know, the play-by-play part of it, you have no idea what's going to pop in your head. You have no idea what's going to actually come out of your mouth. The goal truly is, hey, don't screw this up. This is an incredible play. If you can add to it in any way, great. But at the very least, don't get in the way. This thing's going to live forever. You don't want to be the guy that every, you know, person that clicks on that link 10 years, 20 years, 30 years from now says, who's this bozo? Well, what was he thinking? My goodness. So when you play the call, there's still a little part of me in that moment like, oh, God, please don't. Don't screw this up, dude.
Can't believe you think that way with all the brilliance that you have exhibited over the years. But it shows you this is a very paranoid and paranoia-driven business, this broadcasting thing, as much fun as it tends to be. All right, I have to change directions here because this story was gathering a lot of steam, and you're sort of there at the epicenter of it as the play-by-play voice of the Brooklyn Nets.
And that's where I wanted to go.
And I can't imagine, Ian Eagle, that you were a big fan of adding a chucker to the equation, no matter what level of basketball that you were playing. Even if it meant you would keep the court all night, if you were on the team with a known chucker who was very good and could score, you know, any number of baskets in a game to 11, he might get 10. But you're just running around kind of haplessly, getting some exercise, but not really involved in a game. Can James Harden, I mean, I, you know, obviously it's speculation, but can he possibly be a fit with Kyrie Irving? That's where you really sense the danger, and Kevin Durant, who are coming back this year for the Brooklyn Nets.
First of all, nomenclature is always interesting to me. The fact that that term was so popular, Defoe, when you were growing up, and then into certainly I got it as well. Like when I was growing up, if a guy was just missing shot after shot, you're playing in the schoolyard, somebody would say, like, oh, man, you're a chucker. Enough.
Just a chucker.
Yes.
Yeah. Chucker. It was a tremendous term, but somehow it went extinct. Like, it doesn't really exist in
You may be using it a lot, though.
I might be. I mean, here's the thing. He's obviously a gifted talent guy. He's a ridiculous scorer. He's got the relationship already with Kevin Durant based on their Oklahoma City days. It was the two of them and Russell Westbrook, and they went to the finals the 1 year. They came up short, and then it got broken up. He gets traded to Houston. They wouldn't give him the big deal in OKC. He goes to another level as a scorer and has set ridiculous marks in that department. How it all works, I don't know the relationship with Kyrie and Harden. I don't know. I'm assuming there's one. They've obviously been on Team USA, things of that nature, USA Basketball. I don't think this happens without everybody signing off on it. This isn't like a deal taking place in a back room somewhere and Kyrie has no idea. Certainly, this has been discussed. Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving are legitimately close. They have a very close bond. It's not as if Kevin Durant is going to talk to the Nets brass and say, hey, this Harden thing would be great. Don't tell Kyrie, but we might be able to get him. And so my point is everything is on the table. I do think the one thing that is amazing to me, and I've been coming on your show a number of years now, and the transformation of this franchise becoming a destination is hard to wrap your brain around. They were nowhere. It's not that long ago, after the Pierce, Garnett, Jason Terry deal didn't work out, and they were paying the price of that with all the draft picks that they gave up. And Boston is still looking for the right combination, by the way. They got all the picks, and they have good players with Tatum and Brown. But it still hasn't led to a championship. Well, the Nets hit rock bottom, and here we are at the end of this crazy year, 2020, talking about the possibility of Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving, and James Harden teaming up on the Brooklyn Nets. That's hard to process.
Well, and I wanted to touch on that as I come to you from the Off Leash Only Studios and Defoe, of course, at the Barefoot Beach Villas Verbal Laboratory, talking to the man who will be on the Pittsburgh Steelers and Jacksonville Jaguars, Carl, from our lovely state of Florida this weekend, the one and only Ian Eagle, the one that Jim Nantz still... I can see him shaking his head going, oh, I love the Masters, but dang it, I'm losing footing on this Iron Man.
Right.
It's funny because, of course, you're the play-by-play guy, and we love Eric Reed down here, and he's positive, and he does his job, but you're always pretty honest. Sure. But you were way ahead with the Nets. When we would throw out the Nets, as like Defoe would always throw out his joke 4 years ago, you said, watch Sean Marks. Sean Marks is doing something that's very interesting. And he so... went right ahead of the New York Knicks, and they seem to be the team of New York right now. How does it feel? Like you said, it's interesting to see, but how does it feel to be around the organization because they went from being, oh, they could be, to, wow, they are?
Yeah. Luby, it's been a metamorphosis, not just in the way they go about their business, but the way that they're perceived around the NBA. And I noticed that, you know, prior to the pandemic when everybody was still traveling and you were going into road arenas, and people would have questions, just naturally. We're talking basketball, we're talking hoops, and I would find people more curious about the Nets than ever before. Even during my NFL travels, people were asking me, what's going on there? How are they doing this? So I could tell that it was beginning to permeate into the sports culture. And I look back on it, I sensed it as it was happening because they took a different tact. First couple of years, which were a struggle under Kenny Atkinson, it was all about development. It was all about changing the culture. It was all about welcoming players and their families and making them feel comfortable and making them feel like they were part of a first-class organization, even though the record didn't indicate that. I had broadcast a number of years for the Nets where not only was their record bad, but the vibe around the team and the organization was bad from top to bottom. There were people that worked for the team, I'm talking about in a marketing role or in a sales role, and they just didn't want to be there. They knew it was hard to sell. Nobody seemed to care in the marketplace, and their work often reflected it. And it wasn't their fault. It was just how it was. They were second-class citizens. And what Sean Marks did, in addition to getting the word out to players that, no, this is different, the agents began to take notice. Mm. And as subtle as it might be, a situation pops up with a player who could have been a marginal player, and they did something for that player, whether it was financial, doing the right thing, even if he was released or cut and there was a way that they could make sure he was taken care of, they would. And their families were taken care of. And that gets around. The word gets around. These guys talk. You know, it used to be everybody was so separate. If you were on a team and a guy was on a different team, you never discussed any of this. Now everything is talked about at all times. They're in a fraternity. The players talk to one another. The agents talk to the players. The families talk. And I think that was a huge move by Sean Marks to recognize that he had to get people talking about the Nets in a different way. And that really set them up for this. It allowed Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving to look at it as a legitimate option. And when the time came, they had all the salary cap room, and it was done. And since that point, it's changed. The perception, the optics around the team have changed.
Holy Billy Pauls. Great analysis there by the great Iron Eagle.
That was tremendous.
The flounder. Do us a favor, if you could do some reporting for us, because we're curious to see what the answer to this might be, and we don't have access to Ben Roethlisberger, but if you have a Zoom meeting prior to the game about the strategy, Pittsburgh-Jacksonville, can you run the Kim Jong-un theory by Roethlisberger and see what he says, that he will be left standing along with the cockroach when Un finally pulls the trigger?
The thing that has to be pointed out, this is the fourth straight interview that I've done with you guys.
where
a dictator has been mentioned. Some dictator somehow, man, I don't know if it's Mussolini, if it's Stalin, if it's Kim Jong-un. They're going to make air somehow. I don't know how. I don't know if you have a pool with your buddies, like, hey, next time Ian's on, can you work in another dictator? I'll give you $10. You do it, you get $10.
Your suspicions are well-founded, my friend. All right, we'll look forward to your call. Pittsburgh-Jacksonville, more Ian Eagle brilliance. And, you know, I know you can do it. I know you can easily say, here's Tiger for birdie. And that's it. Nance has nothing after that. He has no game. All right. Thanks so much for being with us, my friend. It's always a pleasure.
Guys, all the best. Always love coming on with you. We'll talk soon.
I love you, BC.
Ian Eagle, ladies and gentlemen. Hey, listen, there's no drop-off here. I mean, you're talking about further greatness. Jim Larranaga, one of our all-time favorites, going to join us next year. 940 wins, 1230 The Zone, and the iHeartRadio app. That's coming up in a moment. Now that.
The time.
Jimmy L., it's 9:22.
Jim Larranaga, we love you, Jim Larranaga. Coach Larranaga, won't you do us a favor? Bring us a winner, one stinking winner. Deliver a winner in this town filled with losers.
Buenos dias. The cafecito is piping hot. Why not enjoy it with Difo and Luby? It's now time for the Difo Show.
This is always great for us. Welcome back to the show on this fine Thursday. Jeff DeForest and Luby Brown. Mike Luby Lubitz, who is salivating over all of the different things that happened last night in the National Basketball Association. We were trying to figure out who could illuminate some of these player profiles for us of the people that were selected, in particular guys that might go to the Miami Heat. And we immediately thought of the great Jim Larranaga, an encyclopedia of college basketball and basketball knowledge, and a total recall of everything that's happened. And it's just amazing to me sometimes with coaches how they remember every play going back to their days in the playground as children. And then all over TV last night was the great one as we introduced Jim Larranaga. You were getting more TV time last night than Donna Shalala during the election. Good to have you on the show, Coach. How are you?
Hi, Defo. Hi, Mike. How's everything there that with this COVID thing going on?
Well, I've been having the luxury of broadcasting from my home here at the Barefoot Beach Villas in Pompano Beach. Oh. And looking at bright sunshine out the window. And Luby has been a first responder. He's been at the studio and following all the protocols. I saw you on the news last night, and you were talking about compliance with COVID-19. Our good friend Rick Pitino has suggested that the season be moved back. Where does everything stand right now, and how are you feeling about the upcoming season?
Well, first of all, I think Rick Pitino was saying that because his team has had to quarantine. They've had a bunch of cases.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, he's been hit hard.
His own opinion. But our situation is this right now. We had to postpone our very first opening game against Stetson because they had some cases. I'm very proud of our guys, and we haven't had any cases. We've been together since July the 20th. I think our guys have worked hard. And, you know, at some point, either our guys or some other players that we're facing will get it, and we'll have to adjust our schedule. And that's just the way the year 2020 is going to go. And then going into 2021, ACC games, who knows what's going to happen. But for right now, our major concern is the safety of our players and how we can keep them from getting the coronavirus.
What kind of UM team are we going to see this year, Coach?
You know, Defo, I don't really know. We've had so many injuries in this early going. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, just fine.
So we've had so many bumps and bruises. We've had a guy with a sprained ankle who's missed several weeks, a guy with a sprained knee who's missed several weeks. We had a guy with allergies that were so bad he couldn't practice. So we've had all different things, the worst being Sam Wardenburg, our most experienced and leading rebounder from last year, our most experienced front court player, Sam Wardenburg, tore a ligament in his foot, and he's out for the season. And at 6'10 and very versatile, really good defensively, that's a big blow to our front court. We really can't afford to have any more injuries like that because we only have 10 scholarship players. So we're really, I think, good when we're at full strength, but we're already not at full strength. So we'll have to see.
The great Jim Larranaga, head coach at the University of Miami, their basketball team, getting set for their season, although on somewhat dicey footing, as Jim has already said. I would imagine that you watched the NBA draft with at least some interest last night. Always interesting to see where these players go. This was not supposed to be a great lot because there was no Zion Williamson or clear-cut standout, no LeBron James and so many others who followed in 2003. But sometimes, Coach Larranaga, we've seen where these kind of drafts end up netting some really, really good pro players. How did you feel about the players that were going into this year's draft in general?
You know, I've seen them all because when we've been out on the road recruiting, you get a chance to see everybody in AAU ball. And so in looking at what the NBA teams were really looking for, Anthony Edwards going first, I thought, was a no-brainer. He's a tremendous athlete. He's a high-octane scorer. James Wiseman, who got picked number two by the Golden State Warriors, I think is going to be a great NBA player. I know everybody is talking about, hey, you have to have big guys who can space the floor. I think he can do that well enough. And then LaMelo Ball going third to the Charlotte Hornets. I haven't seen him play in a while, since his junior year in high school, because he went off to Australia to play pro basketball. So I'd be very curious as to his development, how good a pro he's going to be. But considering his brother, Lonzo Ball, has had a pretty solid NBA career so far. Figure LaMelo was pretty good. How about, though, Florida State, Patrick Williams going fourth and Devin Vassell going 11th out of Florida State. Leonard Hamilton has to be thrilled with his two lottery picks. And two major reasons why they won the ACC regular season last year. And the ACC had eight NBA draft choices. We're the league that produces more NBA players than any other conference. I was a little surprised, even though I'd heard the rumors, that Vern Carey, a local product who we recruited very, very hard, was dropping into the second round, which really shocked me because coming out of high school, I saw him play with and against all these guys, and he was getting winning MVP in all the tournaments. So I expected him to be a lottery pick, but he dropped into the second round.
Who would your money be on in the one-on-one game between LeVar Ball and Michael Jordan now that LaMelo is with Charlotte? Does LeVar stand a chance?
You know, are we being serious?
No, we're definitely not.
No, I mean, I would imagine you'd have to spot.
Maybe, are they going to play one-on-one football? I mean, come on. Maybe hockey. Jordan. I don't know. Swimming? Maybe one-on-one in a swimming? I don't know. But, you know,
yeah,
one of the things about hyping up players and having a dad that's so outspoken as those two young men have, you know, it's very easy to talk. Just go on social media. Everybody's got an opinion.
Yes.
And you can believe whatever you want to believe. And people have all these conspiracy theories and ideas. And I love, you know, the average fan thinks they're a better coach than the guy coaching the team. So, you know, it's okay to have an opinion. But actions are going to speak a lot louder than words. And all of these players, no matter what their reputation was coming out of college, no matter what their reputation was coming out of high school, they leave that behind and have to start over at the professional level and build their own brand, build their own reputation. Some guys, look at Giannis Antetokounmpo was picked 15th. If that draft, if his class was drafted today, you think he'd go number one?
You would imagine.
Like a lot, yeah. We're talking with the one and only coach Jim Larrañaga of your Miami Hurricanes men's basketball team. I'm coming to you from the Offlease Only Studios. Defo is at the Barefoot Beach Villas Robo Laboratory. And that's what I want to talk to you about, Coach, because so often in our business, we don't know the science as much as you guys do, you know? So we just watch and we just assume what a guy can do now, he'll get better at that, but he won't get better at anything else. And so often, that's not the case, especially in the NBA. Kawhi Leonard is nothing near what he was when he came out of San Diego State. And we've talked with you about this. Lonzo Ball this last season transformed his shot. What do you think when you see raw potential versus guys that are already doing something? Like, how much can coaching transform a player from college to the pros?
Well, I think that's the issue with the NBA draft. So much of it is guesswork. You know, you got players who don't develop. You've had guys who were drafted. Anthony Bennett went number one in the draft. He's not even in the league anymore. Wow. Kwame Brown was drafted number one. He's not in the league. Now, that was years ago, but they didn't last very long. They weren't that good a player. And you don't know, Greg Oden got drafted number one with the Portland Trailblazers, but he immediately got injured and never was able to develop into a great NBA player. So some of it is guesswork. A lot of it is doing your homework and figuring things out. And I think NBA scouts do a fantastic job, and they still make a ton of mistakes.
The great Jim Larrañaga, head coach of the University of Miami basketball team with us here at 940 Wins, 1230 The Zone, and the iHeartRadio app. Just a couple of quick things, if you don't mind, Coach. And this was interesting, and I had this observation last night. This gentleman was wearing a hat reflecting his native Nigerian background, and when he put the Miami Heat hat on, I thought he immediately transformed and was dripping with Heat culture. It was an amazing transformation right in front of our eyes. And known as a hard worker, what can you tell us about Precious Achiuwa, who looks like a relentless presence on the inside, both ends of the court? I mean, is this a guy that can be successful in the NBA? And do you see him maybe possessing some of the same potential that Bam Adebayo has shown now in 3 years in the NBA?
Yeah, I watched Precious play. He was at Mount Verde in Florida, and I'm sure everybody saw him. This kid is one heck of an athlete. And, yes, he has a lot of the same qualities Bam has. And Precious will come in. He'll give a tremendous effort. He will improve dramatically during the course of his career, like all the Miami Heat players do, because of the culture. You know, Pat Riley and Eric Spoelstra have a formula for success. They know how to build a professional franchise by drafting the right kind of player, not only for needs, but on character, on work ethic, on behavior on the court and off the court, how guys fit into the system. And when they find a guy, maybe they have a guy on the team that doesn't fit, they're willing to make big decisions to move that guy in a trade or to let him go. So I think Precious is very, very fortunate to be in the Miami Heat organization now, and I think the Heat will develop him into an outstanding NBA player.
One final thing, Coach, if you don't mind, this for our Knicks fans out there. And, of course, I think, this was the best basketball player Dayton has had since Don May. Obi Toppin goes to the Knicks. Can he make Knicks fans forget about Hawthorne Wingo?
Yeah. You're going back to my day and age, Hawthorne Wingo. And Obi is a young man that is getting better. So I think Tom Thibodeau is one of those guys that is relentless in his pursuit of success. And he was looking for a player who was not a finished product, yet was older, more mature, and can kind of handle the intensity of the New York media and Tom's own intensity in coaching. So I think Obi is a good fit for them. The Knicks have to make some big moves, because if you look at what the Brooklyn Nets have done, their New York City neighbor has Kyrie Irving, Kevin Durant, and they've added now one of my favorite players of all time, my Miami Hurricane, Bruce Brown. They just got Bruce in a trade.
Nice.
So they've got a heck of a squad. They're going to be battling for the Eastern Conference Finals these next few years. So the Knicks have a ways to catch up to them.
You're in a park back in the days in New York, Coach Larrañaga. James Harden shows up. Would you label him a chucker?
Yeah, I will tell you this. If I were choosing somebody, he would not be on my team.
That's great.
Chucker.
Definitely chucker.
I want to play with guys who actually pass the ball. Now, I will tell you this. I love James Harden. He comes and works out in our practice facility every summer. He's a great guy. And he's fun to be around, and our players love going against him. But it's very interesting, because the Brooklyn Nets act like they're trying to get James Harden to come to Brooklyn.
Yeah.
And if they get him, they're going to have to change the rules of the game, because they're going to need more than one ball, probably at least three.
They'd be better off trying to find out if Billy Paul still had some game playing for the Nets. Hey, we love you, Coach.
Hey, Deepo,
thanks.
Quit bringing up names. The Whopper, Billy Paul, played at St. John's. I played against him.
Of course.
And he was like Bill Laimbeer, 6'11", and loved to shoot outside.
Yeah.
And he actually played in the ABA for quite a long time. So, but your fans, your audience – Must have to take basketball history 101 in order to listen to your show.
That's why we love having you on, Coach, because you're right there with us. Thanks so much. Very illuminating. You know what? It was even better than I thought. I mean, and I knew you were going to be great. So thanks so much for sharing all of your thoughts with us. We'll look forward to that first game. UM is going to be when now? Do we know a date for sure?
Yeah, November 29th, Sunday afternoon.
All right, sounds good. Get that team ready, and hopefully these guys will bounce back from injury, and we'll have a great season with the University of Miami. We always look forward to having you on the show. It's always a pleasure, and thanks so much for joining us.
Okay, you're welcome.
Jim Larrañaga, ladies and gentlemen.
I love that we have him on because of the old school, because he's so great at old school, and he made fun of you for going too old school.
The Whopper, yeah. I thought he was a flounder, Billy Paltz. He was the Whopper. You can't name anybody that Jim Larrañaga doesn't know something about. That's the beauty.
Oh, for sure.
And he saw all these players. That was very illuminating.
Well, you brought a Precious.
Like a draft guy,
he paused for a second. I'm like, oh, no. Did Defoe get him? And then he's like, well, you know, I saw him and when he was down here in high school. I'm like, what the
when
hell?
When he was a six-year-old, I was scouting him. It's freaking amazing, man. All right, good stuff from both of our 9 o'clock guests, and we'll open up the phone lines if we have time, although I don't know. That's going to be tough. We do have a Deal Volkswagen Degenerate Friday tomorrow. That gets sent away at 6. We'll have our handicappers, the great Brandon Lang, and, of course, two for the money based on his life. Just amazing. McConaughey plays the character. And also the professor on college football. He's been good. Mark Lawrence, always with the trends. And Len Robbins going to join us, Jersey Kyle as well. That's tomorrow from the Breezeway at Gulfstream Park. Back with more in a moment. Now that.
The time.
9:45.
Well, I don't get they rain, they ain't cold, but they're kept promise.
It's now time for The Defoe Show.
Pure brilliance there from the great Jim Larrañaga. Always a pleasure having Jim on the show. I hope you guys enjoyed that. That'll be up on the website, 940wins.com, 1230thezone.com, and the iHeartRadio app podcast. Jim Larrañaga, brilliant on the NBA draft and many philosophical elements as well, as you might expect. Tomorrow, we'll be out at the Breezeway Bar at Gulfstream Park. That's going to be a lot of fun. Championship meet less than 2 weeks away, Luby. I was looking at the calendar. I was looking at Pure Gold. The calendar of events at Gulfstream Park for the championship meet. We can't wait to get out there tomorrow. Going to be very exciting with Jersey Kyle, all our handicappers, the great Len Robbins. And that's all brought to you by the great people at Deal Volkswagen. Give Anna a call. She has phenomenal deals going on right now in the 2021s with 0.0. I mean, like triple zeros in terms of financing. Up to 6 years on new cars, up to 2 years on certified pre-owned. So I'm Jeff DeForest. He's Mike Luby Lubitz. Back to wrap things up in a moment. On his fine edition of the program, now that.
The time.
It's 9:52.
I have no knowledge of anything. I'm very comfortable saying that.
No worries. Defoe is here. Welcome back to The Defoe Show.
A lot of fun being with you all morning long. We appreciate you guys tuning in, making your radio choice to join us here on the show. The Greek at 3 o'clock today after Dan Patrick and Colin Coward. And we'll join you again tomorrow from the Breezeway Bar at Gulfstream Park, a Deal Volkswagen Degenerate Friday. Always an exciting thing for us to bring you that program with our handicappers. We'll have some selections on the pro and college games. And then on Saturday, following the weekly Fisherman with the great Eric Brandon, on 940 Wins, and I did catch Steve Waters on a show last week. I know they have a new guy also in the rotation there as a co-host who does a fine job, but it was great seeing or hearing, actually, Steve Waters. You can see him on the stream, but that's a great show, and that's on Saturday, 6 to 8, the Weekly Fisherman, and, of course, we'll follow that with the Hylia Park Trivia Challenge live from Hylia Park. For Mike Luby Lubitz, it's been a pleasure all day long. We thank all of our guests for joining us here on the show. We'll see you tomorrow at 6 as we leave you know that.
The time.
It's 9:58.
Let's go to eat a damn snack.
With what they've done to my soul.